It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Rashford, he's in here, he scores! Marcus Rashford takes yet another step up the ladder. And it's a lad from Manchester who scores.
Only chance in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U.
Trying to get in again,
thank
he's in again,
guys in my head like shampoo. Violate my squad, my bang you. Only chance in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U.
Manny. Ready!
It defies description. How about
Martial is isolated. Skirtle here. Oh, yes! Welcome to Manchester United, Anthony Martial!
I'll be for backstage till the bar's done. Slap one, slap two, that she danced on. Like Rashford, I'm a fast one. Thank you, man. Bars in my head like shampoo. Violate my squad, might bang you. Only champs in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U. Thank you, man. Bars in my head like shampoo. Violate my squad, might bang you. Only champs in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U.
Hello, guys, and welcome to another episode of Mugger. You're joined by me, Stevie, and I've got three other guests with me today. How you doing, fellas?
Yeah, man. We're good still.
Yeah, you got a regular on there.
He's the regular.
You're looking at him, the one.
You've been a low-key irregular, though. You've been low-key irregular recently.
Yeah, come on.
Bro, I've been carrying the shit, fam.
You know my thing, huh?
I've been carrying the shit, fam. Me and Dre, bro.
Yeah, you look stressed with it,
fam. It's not easy.
What happened to your ring light, Timmy?
I was at my yard, bro. I'm at my mum's still. Why are you trying to get me, though?
This is what this little idiot does. Yeah, you leave him alone, and he's gonna fire at you. So you know what you gotta do, fam. You gotta
have to be in the chamber ready. It's all friendly vibes. Before I get into it, obviously, got to shout out the Discord. I don't know if you lot been following it of late, but always know it's popping, lively and active in there. I know we done the live show in Dawson yesterday, so a good chance to get there. And if you lot haven't listened to that live recording, go and check that out. The podcast up on Spotify and iTunes now. And we also got some Patreon content coming for you lot. This week, I know Mariah's got a couple of top 30 episodes to release. We got some other watches as well coming, so stay tuned for that. But for today, obviously, we're going to be reviewing first and foremost the Southampton draw. Last week, I saw so many think pieces on why United are going to win the title, why we're going to do so well this season, and I just thought, right, nah, this was a game against Leeds. This always happens, and then come this week, we played a team that pressed us in shock. We didn't get the 3 points. Dre, I'm going to start with you. When you saw lineup come out. What did you think? Did you think we were gonna get another away win, or what did you think was gonna happen?
I thought whatever lineup we would have put out, we should have beat Southampton in it. Like when I saw that at 1 o'clock, I was like, yeah, 3 points. Like I wasn't really too stressed, to be honest. Like I would have liked to have seen Sancho start, but I was a bit baffled by Greenwood starting on the right and bringing in Martial. But other than that, whatever lineup we put out, I was expecting to win, to be honest.
Okay. Timmy, you said 9 a.m.'s coming back. We saw Martial starting up top, number 9. Greenwood shunted to the right because of Martial. Well, did he impress you, Martial? Were you disappointed with him starting, Greenwood?
Yeah, I was annoyed still, because my thing is, I don't mind giving Martial another chance because my thinking was he just will never have as bad a season as he did last season. Even if it's not a great season, it's going to be better than what he did last season. But after what Greenwood did against Leeds, like it's criminal to move him out to the right for the next game. After what you saw him do, like the trouble he caused them for 90 minutes, it was just absolutely criminal, bro, to move him for Martial, who hasn't completed a game since like March.
Yeah.
How long has he had? He's like had a 45 minutes in pre-season and then like a 15 minute cameo against Leeds. You don't just bring man into the starting lineup like that. At least someone like Sancho trained all through the summer, played a full season for Dortmund, had a little bit of a break, came back. So he's way more likely to be fresh and ready to go than a Martial, who is still obviously regaining match fitness and still gaining match sharpness. So the play for me would have been Greenwood up top and Sancho on the right. But obviously, Ollie had different things in mind and he wanted to play Martial up front. And that guy was dreadful. My word. You struggle to find a worse performance from a nine, from a United nine in a long, long time. I think that's probably the worst performance I've seen since the days of Rom stinking for us.
That's a big statement.
It was that bad.
Rodney, what were you saying? You must have thought we had enough in us to go and beat Southampton with that lineup.
The only reason I thought we'd beat Southampton was probably more so Southampton are terrible than we're good. So I didn't look at our lineup and thought, yeah, that's 3 points. They're still, when you play Southampton, they play with two up top, so you always know your centre backs are going to be pressed, and that's always an issue with Maguire and Lindelof. And then we had Matic and Fred. So those four there, immediately you know those guys are not press resistant. So I always thought there'd be slight issues. The Leeds result I sort of disregarded because Leeds go man for man in midfield and we're obviously superior to them in the midfield and they let Pogba go. So I was looking at the Southampton performance to really judge whether we're ready to not only challenge, maybe win the title. And looking at that performance, it's the same issues as last season. Whether Varane and Sancho starting changes that is yet to be seen, because I still think the key is at DM. But yeah, I looked at the lineup, and just because Southampton are so bad, I thought we win. It's not because looked at the lineup and thought.
We lost him. Yeah, I think he's gone. All right, Dre, I'm gonna come to you then. Obviously, Matic started his first game of the season yesterday. Sorry, not yesterday, 2 days ago even. What did you think of his performance? I think they said McTominay was ill, so he couldn't do the whole 90 minutes. Otherwise, he probably would have started that match. But when you saw Matic lining up, did you think, oh, we're going to get the good side of Matic? Or did you think this is a downgrade on McTominay?
I thought we're going to get a decent performance because he's looked decent in pre-season. And like, he's one of the few midfielders that's actually played, if not every game in pre-season, so he should have been ready. I'm not saying it weren't the worst performance in this one, because the guy next to him had a stinker, but if we're relying on Matic, as the next midfielders come in once McTominay's injured, and we're even relying on McTominay, that just shows you the whole problem in the team. It's the midfield. Bro, that area of the pitch needs to be sorted ASAP. We're not winning nothing with McTominay, Fred, Matic. Didn't even give Van de Beek a look in. Like, oh, man. It was
disappointing. That was, I think,
just shocking.
I agree with that. I think before I got out, what I was going to say is, yeah, I think the selection was... I think if you're going to play Southampton, how will they press? I think you got to bring Adonis in, and you've got to try and bring as many players who are press resistant. We don't have many options looking at that, but I felt Donny maybe could have come in, especially in hindsight as well, looking at how bad Fred was. But to go back to the Greenwood selection, I kind of get it, because if you move Greenwood up top, the only other option is James at the moment, because I don't think Sancho is fit. He looks quite heavy. He looks quite heavy footed. When he came on, he didn't look sharp as he should be, and he looks quite heavy footed. So he looks as unfit Martial to me at the moment. So I kind of get why we didn't start with Sancho, because the only other option is to start James. And the only reason I'm seeing James start against Leeds is because you've got far more space to utilise his pace. So I kind of got why Greenwood started on the right. And it's just probably just one of them things where Sancho is just not up to play starting games and playing 70, 80 minutes at the moment. Because he didn't look fit to me when he came on.
I kind of got it.
It's disappointing because you don't want to move Greenwood from striker after that performance against Leeds, but I kind of get it because then the alternative is watching James stink up the place. So
I think
on the lineup,
I think one of the main problems now that we have is obviously Martial is Martial in it. I don't think we've seen a good side of Martial in going near on like 18 months now. And it seems every time he touches pitch and we get a little glimpse of hope for him, he's just not performing whatsoever. What's happening?
I think we're being a little bit harsh, man. I think like Timmy touched on, the guy's not fit. I think, and the fact we couldn't sustain attacks, the fact we couldn't keep possession, the fact he wasn't getting good looks, okay, fair enough, he should move a bit more, and there was fundamentals missing from that performance. But again, the guy's come off an injury hit season. Like Timmy said, he's not played much football. He's just not fit. He looked heavy. He just looked off the pace. And he looked that way last season, to be fair, to people are criticising him. But I feel like maybe we've been a little bit harsh on him. It wasn't a great striker performance at all. Like, I'm not going to sit here and lie, but I feel like we're going over the top. Give him a few more matches to get to, like Timmy said, match fitness, and then see what he can do. He's still a good player, man. He still should be able to affect a game like Southampton. They're not a good side. They've lost two key players, one of them in the back four. He should have been able to affect that game, but he's just not fit.
So, what do you think, Timmy? Is it a case of him not being fit, or do you think he's just regressed as a footballer?
I think he's not fit. I think he's regressed slightly, but I think the regression is because he's lacking in confidence. Last season probably took a really big hit on his like mental and his confidence, and he probably feels like he's not as good. Then he's seeing obviously all the praise that Cavani got for doing what a number nine should do, and then he's obviously seeing Greenwood in training and that doing exactly the same thing. So at the moment, like he's feeling the pressure, and the thing is, like, Ollie's man management is so good that he should be able to sniff these kind of things out, and he should be able to sniff them out early. He knows, he'll be able to tell that Martial is lacking confidence. He'll be able to tell that Martial's not at optimum level. So the best thing is to ease him back in. Ease him in, like play him in Carling Cup games, play him in low-level Champions League games, let him get some confidence back so that when he does finally get brought into the lineup, he's ready to go. Yesterday, he weren't ready. Clearly weren't ready. It's sad because, like I said, I wanted to be backing him again this season. I want him to do well, but he's just not ready yet, man. He's just not ready. When did he even get back into training? He got back into training, what, like,
late last week? As well.
about
2 weeks ago. But he was he was doing his own training over the summer, although it was probably not.
I know that he's lost weight. He's a lot leaner now. He's a lot slimmer now as well. I know that he's lost weight. I don't know if that helps. I don't know if he's trying to get faster. I thought he was quite fast already, as it is. I don't know what it is, but I thought he would try and build like muscle kind of thing, because he's not the strongest forward.
I think earlier on in his career, to me, he was explosive.
He's lost
when he got on the ball. And I feel like that burst, that acceleration, even in his trickery, it's gone. He doesn't seem to be able to surprise people anymore. So I think he's lost that.
And it doesn't help. When you lack confidence and you're playing football, you take two or three seconds longer to...
Yeah.
Be deceptive in your actions, and when you do that at the top level, nothing comes off, nothing works. Where things are supposed to be automatic for a player like Martial and his technical ability, he's thinking things through too much. Like there was a opportunity where Pogba, the outside of the foot round the corner, and he slowed down far too much. He thought about what he needs to do to get past the player far too much, and he just killed.
Yeah, I absolutely remember that in the first half.
Yeah, when you're lacking confidence, you take longer to make your decisions. And at the top level, sometimes when you're playing, you don't get that. You don't get that time. It's unforgiving. It's got to be automatic, and you got to play off instinct, especially when you're a number nine or you're a wide man or you've got the technical ability of Martial. So yeah, he's struggling at the moment, man, and. When Cavani comes back and Rashford comes back, if he's not getting looks in the Carling Cup and he's not performing, he's not taking his chances, come the summer, he's going to be in big, big, big trouble, man. Big trouble.
Yeah, 100%. But it seems to me he might just need a move to, like, reignite his career.
I think that's unfair to United. Ollie's given him the platform. Like, we've given him games. We've stuck by him in the season when we sold Rom and stuff like that. So we've given him everything we can. We've given him the platform. He doesn't have a manager like Mourinho. He's got a manager like Ollie. I think it's just he's letting himself down at the moment. And the fact that we're saying he needs a change of scenery shouldn't reflect poorly on United, because we're doing everything we can for him. And our other nines, the players we play up top, perform. So I don't want it to seem like United are doing him injustice. It's just Martial at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. Timmy, you touched on Ollie's man management. I think that's one of the things we always give Ollie as one of the good facets of his management skills. But some people have been saying he's been managing Van der Beek very, very poorly. Two games in, again, Van der Beek was looking sharp in pre-season. He's obviously gone and put on a bit of weight. People are saying he's come back determined, but so far, no minutes. What do you take of that situation so far?
Bro, it's really strange, man. Like, he's not seeing any minutes on the pitch. Like, it's very, very strange. I don't know why Ollie doesn't trust him, because he's now had a season in the Prem, so he knows. He knows the pace of the game. He understands the team a lot better. Like, he's not a newbie anymore. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? He's a squad member, and he's a senior squad member at that. This is a guy that's been to Champions League semi-finals. This is a guy that's played Europa League finals. This is a guy that's bopped Real Madrid off the park, put in solid performances against United, put in solid performances against Pochettino Spurs. He's a very, very good player. And I can't for the life of me understand why Ollie doesn't give him a chance. I can't for the life of me. I feel like Ollie wants the attack to just be able to play as fluid as possible and, you know, like, not really defend as much as they should. And so he compensates for that with two defensive-minded midfielders that he can rely on, because as much as we all know that Van der Beek can play in the pivot, Van der Beek also can play 10 as well. In fact, I'd say that he's more natural. He's a more natural forward player than a six. So he's more of an 8 or 10 than he is a six. Mm-hmm. And I think Ollie's probably just thinking, like, defensively, he's just not reliable. It's kind of the same thing with Pogba. Defensively, you know that you could get a liability in there. Sometimes you don't really know what player you're going to get. And I think Ollie just goes with what's tried and trusted. I think, and I'm not trying to help him here, but he'll look at the fact that McTom and Fred, did they only lose one game when they played together last season?
Might have been something crazy like that. I know in the top six games, we conceded very few, didn't we?
Yeah, they play very well, to Ollie. They're solid together.
We didn't win many top six games with them.
No, we didn't. We beat Spurs once. I think that's the only game we won. Oh, we beat City, obviously, as well.
I don't think we won many with them last season. We didn't lose many, but we didn't win.
Not top six games. We didn't win many top six games with them. Definitely not. Yeah. And this is the thing. I think it's time for Ollie now. He needs to make a change. Be it McTominay, Van der Beek, be it Fred and Van der Beek. Just try something different. But Van der Beek has to be playing now. He has to be playing. We paid 40 million for him. I don't even think the guy's completed 1,500 minutes for United.
It's crazy. It seems like if Bruno's not injured, he's not going to play.
And that even now, Lingard has now gone ahead of him in the pecking order anyway. Yeah. Even if Bruno is injured, it looks like Bruno's going to get the nod. It looks like Lingard will get the nod over him anyway.
Rumors that he was going to play 2-8s and run holding.
Yeah, so that was the thing. That
right, was right. This pipe dream that everyone has of Ollie playing 4-3-3, bro, let's just get it out of our heads.
That would have worked if we signed a DM.
It's never going to happen. If
we signed a DM, it's not going to work.
Ollie will forever do the pivoting. And I think the DM, signing the DM is more so he can play Pogba next to the midfielder in the pivot. Because as soon as Rashford comes back, Rashford's going to need to take back up that left wing spot. Right, and Pogba's going to need protection, and he doesn't get enough protection from Fred or McTom. Mm-hmm. So a DM really would be to ensure that Pogba can also play six with them, in my opinion, because I don't see Ollie going 4-3-3. I don't see it at all, man.
Yeah.
He's just not that way inclined. He loves the 4-2-3-1 thing. He loves the fact that Bruno's doing bits in the 10. He's just not going to change it up, I wouldn't say.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree. Dre, what did you think of the match as a whole then? I think, like, on the face of it, if I review those 90 minutes, I know we didn't have a huge amount of clear-cut chances, but we had enough attempts on their goal and we threatened enough, I think, to win the game. That being said, though, defensively, we also look shaky, and any time Southampton, like, really stuck it on us, they also looked like they could... They could go and bag the win as well. So what did you reckon of the performance as a whole?
I feel like it just mirrored some of the performances from last season in terms of, like, we just felt like we could just turn up, probably play a little 15 minutes and get the game done. Like, I wasn't too bothered about everything leading up to the equaliser because I knew we were going to score in it. But it was everything after the equaliser. Like, they showed it on Monday Night Football. Like, everything after the equaliser, Southampton had more shots on goal, more shots on target, more possession, more position in opposition third. Like, more possession in opposition third. Like, we were shocking after we got the equaliser. That was more alarming to me than anything. Like, I thought once Greenwood scored, we were going to kick on and get the second and third goal and just wrap this up. Like, but it was just shocking. I don't know what... especially when Sancho came on, I was like, what's he doing? I don't think he knew what he was doing when he came on the pitch. Like,
yeah, I saw him. I saw him on the right. I saw him on the left. He didn't seem, like Rodney said, he didn't seem sharp yesterday at all.
The Martial substitution should happen at halftime. Like, you're brilliant off Matic for McTominay when you need a goal to win. Should have brought him Van der Beek or someone else like that could influence the game. Like, that was 2 points dropped. And especially in a season where if we want to win the league, these are games where we can't be dropping points. We should be laying down a marker, especially after last week, and slapping up Southampton. Like, they were literally there to be beat.
Yeah, 100%. Rodney, you said...
Well, off what we did last week.
Right. Rodney, you said Southampton, very poor side, innit? After we got the equaliser, though, I thought for about 10 minutes, we looked like the goal was a given. And then something changed.
Yeah, do you know...
And then it was just downhill from there.
Breaking down the game, really, first 15 minutes, we were okay. We have some poor defending for the goal. Southampton came back into the game after the goal. I thought they dominated until about half-time. And we came out again. We looked a little bit better. And we got, obviously, our equaliser. But after the goal, I feel like the team thought it was a given.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just going through the motions. We looked threatening, but it was... The problem is, it's just we're going to go back to DM. You can't sustain attack. You can't keep possession. You can't get the ball in good areas to the attackers because we don't have a midfield that can help us sustain attacks. And when you're trying to win a game, that's what you need. And that was our issue. And then we let Southampton back in the game. They did really well to get back into that game because in those 10 minutes, we did look threatened. But after that, I think Southampton took the game away from us and we didn't know what to do. My issue, this is what I was saying before the Southampton game, the players and the manager don't know how to manage games.
Mm.
Like, they don't go into games knowing how to manage different situations. So, like, when we were 1-1, they went gung-ho for 10 minutes, but when we didn't score, it's like, okay, well, what do we do now? And Ollie was like, well, okay, what do I do now? Like, I'll just leave the team as it is. And to be fair, there was enough on the pitch. It's not really Ollie's fault. It's enough on the pitch. They should have done a lot better. But the players don't know how to manage games. Like, there's not that player on the pitch that can say, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to do that. This is what we need to do. Calm down. Keep things ticking. Keep things moving. Keep probing. There's not that player on the pitch. We've got a player like Bruno who sort of epitomizes how we play in the sense that everything is rushed, everything is, oh, we've got to score right now. So I just think after we got that first goal, the team rushed it and then ran out of gas, and then Southampton came back at us and we had nothing to give to them after that. It was really, 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 really poor. After you score again, there's still, like, I believe 25 minutes or something of the game. So you've got enough time to relax, to chill. You've got enough on the pitch to be able to score goals. And everything was just rushed. Everything felt like, okay, we need to score in that moment. Okay, you smell blood and you want to score as quickly as you can after equalising. But calm down. Take your time. And the team just didn't do that. They ran out of gas. And as you, without a DM on transitions, we were getting battered and we were getting pressed. The back four were just making so many errors in the last 20 minutes. I think Maguire made several errors. And after the goal, it didn't, after that 5 or 7 minutes, it didn't look like we were going to score, which is alarming.
Yeah. So who is that player then who kind of comes in, transforms our fortunes, like in terms of keeping the ball ticking, managing, controlling that tempo? I think at very best, we might have 40 million to spend if we ship off Lingard. At worst, we have nothing.
Ruben Neves.
Yeah, I think I'm not the biggest fan of Ruben, but I feel like he ticks the boxes in the sense that we can keep things moving with him. 40 million is a lot to spend on a player that I do feel we're going to have to upgrade once the team progresses even more. But in this moment, realistically, with our budget and who's available, yeah, I think Timmy's right. That is who we're going to have to look at. And then maybe we can... The pivot with him and Pogba, I don't know, man. But we need to get someone who can start getting the ball into the attackers, man.
But you think what? You think Neves would be a stopgap?
I don't. Yeah, I don't feel like he's a long-term solution. Especially if Pogba's gonna go, he's definitely not a long-term solution. So,
if he's not a long-term solution, I'll definitely have him for 2-3 years until Galbraith is ready, because what I'm seeing from that kid right now is quite brazy, bro. I ain't gonna lie.
You saying can't go briefing now, yeah?
Right, I know he's only playing at Doncaster, yeah, but my eyes are open, bro.
Doncaster, we need our player back.
Listen, I'm telling you, yeah. Wait, he's kind of like the flavor of the month at the moment. I know Sebi's been talking about him for a while. I know Reams has been talking about him for a while. But this boy's actually playing men's football now, and he's getting 90 minutes week in every 3 days for Doncaster, basically. And I've not seen one bad performance from him. No, I'm not watching 90-minute games. I'm watching the extended clips that most people are watching. But he's got everything that we're looking for in a deep-lying playmaker. He's good. He's good under pressure. He can play out of a press. He can break lines very, very well. He's assured in the possession. He's technically good. He's got the makings of a top, top player. And if he keeps progressing as he is, we won't need to buy another DM after Neves. 2-3 years, start playing Galbraith. And if Pogba does go, which obviously we hope he doesn't, but if he does go, Neves is more than capable of playing in that Pogba role. Can't play it as well, obviously, but not many midfielders can. But Neves isn't just he's not just resigned to being a six. He can also play as an eight. He played 10 in a couple games for Porto while he was at Porto as well. I think that's what Sebi was saying. But yeah, he can play anywhere in the centre of midfield, Neves. And he'd be a great player to have. And he's an upgrade on what we have, because outside of Pogba.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
We need a better centre midfielder than him.
Yeah, big facts. Dre, have you got anyone else in mind, or you're back in the Neves shout as well?
I'm back in the Neves shout. Neves, he probably leaves this summer. Got half of a player that can replace Pogba and Neves. Then I'll get Bissouma next summer.
But
wait, Neves would just improve everything going forward. Defensively, I'll be a bit worried, but going forward, he'll just get things moving a lot quicker than with Tomine and Matic.
Yeah.
So I'm all in favour for Neves' journey.
Okay. All right. No, that makes sense. I think it's going to be interesting to see if we actually do the business. I think what's 1 week left till the transfer window closes? I don't think we've put in a bid. I don't think we're even speaking to Wolves, so I'd be very surprised to see.
We haven't offloaded.
Yeah, we need to offload before we can bring anyone in. And I don't know. I don't think West Ham will put in a bid for Lingard either.
They're not going to. I'm telling you, at 25 million, they're not going to.
Wait, you think he's saying?
Well, they're looking at Kurt Zouma for 28 million. And they're obviously negotiating with Chelsea and whatever. They're trying to convince Zouma to go to West Ham. I don't see them paying 25 million for Lingard at all. And I think we've only got rid of now, is it Brandon Williams
and Pereira. Pereira, there's not even a loan fee, and we're playing half his wages.
Yeah, it still makes a big difference because he's still on quite a bit of money, but our asset to be able to buy at the moment is Lingard.
Is Lingard, yeah.
And I think that's who we get the most money for.
But how much do you know?
Until we offload...
25.
I think we should try 7 for 30, to be honest.
No, he's on 1 year left, no?
I don't even know how long he's got left. But for him, I think the move, just moving this summer, well, off the back of what he did at West Ham, just makes so much sense. So, and he doesn't seem like he's pushing for it. I get that he wants to grind at United, and I respect it. But to be honest with you, he's not gonna get many minutes, especially when Rash comes back. When Rash comes back, he's not coming off the bench.
No.
So no. So it's for his career and how far he's gotten and all he's gone through, and he's pushing, and he's pushed to get back. It's fantastic. But go elsewhere and play, bro. You're a good enough player to go to teams like West Ham and ball back your talent and go elsewhere, man. I think at United he's going to find it very difficult, and it's just going to be a season wasted. And all that hard work he did to get back and get a loan to West Ham and perform how he did will be going down the drain.
Yeah, I think he backs himself though, isn't he? He thinks he's a player, and like, fair play to him. So I think he just wants to try and make it at United and have one.
But you've got to be realistic. You got to be very realistic, because when Rashford comes back, you're not unseating Bruno, and you're not going to unseat Rashford. And on the right hand side, you've now got Sancho. So where do you fit in? Where do you get your minutes? Where do you get the regular minutes you need to be able to perform at that level he was at West Ham when he was playing every game, 80 minutes almost every game, maybe even 90. Like he was one of them that like, can't take him off type of thing. Where's he going to get that level of confidence from the manager and that many minutes? I feel like United, he's wasting his time. But I respect it, and it's his boyhood club, and he feels he can do something. So great for him, but...
He's probably seen all the black boys link up, and he's like, yeah, I want to try this.
Yeah. They seem to love him, and he's definitely a personality in the dressing room. He's like Bruno was saying the other day, he's a funny guy, and he definitely brings that charisma and that fun vibe to the dressing room that you probably need when you challenge for titles and stuff. But do you really want to streamline yourself to our media man, our hype man? Like, it's just,
yeah, it's a bit basic.
Easy, like, come on.
The spokesman, the spokes leader of the 2021 and 22 campaign, Timmy, what are you saying? How are the other competitors faring? Obviously, Chelsea bagged yesterday with Lukaku. Liverpool looking strong. City looking like City. Where are we looking right now?
But they are still. You get me?
You didn't even say that with confidence, my boy.
Well, no.
Hey, come on.
It's still 21 and 22, boys. Like, please. It's still 21 and 22. I'll tell man that for free. You get me? Bro, so Chelsea look really good. Huh?
What do you think has to happen this season then for it to be like that? In regards to
we just need to win the games that we're supposed to win. And then do what we're supposed, and then do better in big games. If we win the games we're supposed to win, then I see it, bro. 21 and 22. Yesterday's game, that's okay, because you're gonna get games like that. Do you get what I'm saying? But out of like what, 14 whack teams, we need to beat 11 of them. You get me?
But then, do you see like Chelsea, City, and Liverpool beating less of those teams or more?
Yeah.
As long as we beat 11 of them twice. So and I'm talking about teams that we should be beating. Obviously, Big Six is different. We put that to the side. I'm talking about your Burnleys, your Brentfords, your Norwiches, and all them. We win all these games and we take 6 points like we're supposed to from two games from these teams. We are going to be up there, and we must give a good account of ourselves in the big games as well. So teams like Chelsea, teams like Liverpool, teams like City, they're all very, very good teams. We know this, right? But they are also going to come up against a team that's going to be stubborn, that's going to have a good day. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So United had a bad day, but really and truly, we had more than enough to win that game, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to do ifs or buts, but Fred scored an own goal from 18 yards, basically. Do you know what I mean? It's taken a wicked deflection. There's not much we can do about that. We're also missing Rash. Our striker's not firing. Sancho's not fully fit yet. You know, there's a lot of variables, but Man United in full swing with our best team, we're going to be very, very hard to beat this season.
I think the concerning thing is, to me, the other, like Chelsea's, I don't know about City. City probably look a bit off the pace, but they tend to start slow. But they'll be in and around there. I think Liverpool looks stronger this season defensively, even with Van Dijk back. You just see like the range of passing; he just gives them a different option. And Chelsea obviously look stronger as well. So I feel like the other teams have got stronger by a bigger gap than we have, in my opinion. And then our problems are still our problems. Like the Southampton game is sort of like trademark game that we'd go and face last season and we wouldn't get the 3 points, because we know when teams press us, we struggle, and we know we struggle when teams kind of sit in that mid or sort of low block as well. And I can't see that changing. I don't see what's going to change in the big games. I guess Sancho is probably the one game changer we have. Is he going to be enough? I don't know.
Do you know what I will say about that, though? We generally tend to struggle against Southampton of late anyway.
We struggle against
their press. Yeah, I know we beat them twice. We were 2-0 down in the first game. And then in the second game, they had an unfair red card. So, was it 1-2?
Two. In the end, two.
Two red cards, wasn't it? Yeah. Oh, yeah, it ended with two. I think it was the second one that was unfair. So, in fairness, like we bopped them in the second game. But there aren't many teams that press with the intensity that Southampton press with. That's one thing that Hassan Hull's taught them very, very well. And it's a fixture, really, with German gaffers. I know Klopp and Liverpool do it as well. Mm. But in a big game like that, Liverpool and United game, Liverpool are going to tend to be somewhat more reserved. But at the same time, United will be happy to give them the ball as well. Mm-hmm. So you won't see the press as violently as we see it with the likes of Southampton. And I just feel like in most games, we're quite comfortable against the presses, especially when we can get the ball into the wide areas. A lot of people like speak on Wan-Bissaka, and listen, going forward, he's not it. I think we all know that. But one thing that Wan-Bissaka does really well is he, on that right channel, and the same thing with Luke Shaw, they get themselves out of trouble by playing the ball. Right, they play the ball out of trouble. You can see combination play, you can see pass and move, etc. So it's only really in the middle of the park when we've got the Freds and the McToms that they can get pressed into oblivion. I can't remember who it was that was calling Fred the press trigger. I'm sure it was against Watford. Was it Troy Deeney that did it?
Yeah.
They called Fred the press trigger. Right. So something that Ollie should look at is, against teams with intense presses, you don't play Fred, because that's your trigger. You understand what I'm trying to say?
So that's interesting, actually, because at first I thought he played Matic intentionally because he wanted someone with a bit more passing out, and he didn't want to play McTominay and Fred together. And I thought Matic might actually show something, but he showed that he's clearly passed it. I think the only reason Fred started, well, Fred was always going to start, but the only reason McTominay didn't start is because he wasn't fully fit. But it doesn't seem like we have much in the way of alternatives either. Dre, obviously, you spoke about United going to 4-3-3, but I don't know who I'd even put in that deepest position at the minute.
Yeah,
the only one I put there is Matic, just because he's actually used to playing DM, but that's not even a short-term solution. Like, he was so good yesterday that I've heard people mention Lindelof putting him there once for Rans bit. Boy, I've tried that over anything right now, because we can't continue this season with just with Matic, Tomine, Fred. We can't run. We just cannot run.
But we will.
Yeah. Just
I feel like Sutton's gonna come in the last few days of the window. So I think something must happen.
21, just to go back to 21 and 22, I think Timmy made some great points, but there's a few that just, to me, it's not only pressing teams that cause problems, it's teams that also sit in. Yeah. Those are going to be issues. And also, just to, with, like, when you line up Chelsea, City, Liverpool, United, and you line up the 14 teams, in my opinion, this season, you're always going to back those three teams ahead of us to get more points from those 14 games. And that is a problem, because you can beat 11 of the 14, but then your issue comes where the other guys are beating 13, 14 of those teams. And then you go in big games needing results. And if we're going on last season's performance in the big games, we're not going to get them. So for me, the title, winning the title, is completely out of the question. Challenging, and also everyone's like, yeah, you should challenge, you spend 100 and something million, but it's all relative to what your team needs and also how teams are doing above you and what they've spent. Like, Arsenal spent 129 million. You're not going to say they should challenge for the title, are you? So I feel like, yeah, United should challenge, but let's be realistic about what we're going to be able to do. And going on, if Southampton is a blueprint of how we're going to struggle against teams that not only press, but teams that are well organised, teams that sit in low blocks, then we're in trouble, man. I feel it's going to be a fight for top four for us. If we don't manage to sort of improve on what we needed to against Southampton, 21 and 22 is looking, it looks further away than 21 and 21, to be honest with you. And that was always
overreacting on what happened yesterday, innit?
I know we've seen it before, in terms of the performance.
That's the issue. It's not
as long as we're in the mix in Christmas, and we've got Rashford coming back, Sancho will be up and running, Varane. Then I can say, all right, cool.
We're also going to have a nine in Greenwood. It's going to get you 2 and 3, bro.
Our fixture list up until about the middle of October is very good. Like, all the big teams have to play each other in the opening weeks of the season, innit? To me,
guys, man.
Rugby's not hearing it, bro. I wish you could see it.
I said the most amount of points we can drop between now and when we play Liverpool is probably 2. I've now stretched it to 4 in it. Like, we've got to turn all these games down. We were dropping points like last season into wins, innit? So to me,
what have you seen from last season going into this season? Is there anything you've seen that makes you think that the points that we dropped are this season going to be wins? That's the issue for me. I haven't seen anything.
I think the two things that I've seen, Greenwood looks sharper from the start of the season. We didn't have that last season, so I think we have that. And we probably dilly-dallied playing Martial in too many games last season at the start. And then also Pogba is playing at a much higher level than he was.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
No, we're creating a lot. He was playing that towards the end of the season, though.
He was bagging, bro.
Yeah, but that's...
He got 10 meagles last season.
Blood, that's not my point. He was still doing things. He was doing this last season, blood. Do you get it? So even if he does it again...
I hear what you're saying. The difference is, though, he's going to play more.
Yeah.
He started doing it at the back end of the season when A, it had already been lost, and B...
No, he didn't. It wasn't already lost when he came.
No.
When he was playing.
It was lost from March, it was gone.
No, but he was playing before that. Like, when he was balling against Burnley, Fulham, Burnley, Fulham, West Ham. Remember those games? We were still in there.
Where was that?
Yeah, the thing is, last season we started really poorly, and Pogba, we had COVID Pogba at the start of last season. This season we actually have Pogba.
But I forget about COVID Pogba. He was still, I would say, from February or something when he came back.
Yeah.
Was it the AC Milan game or something like that?
Yeah, 100.
When he came back, we were something like only six points behind City or something like that.
Mm.
So that's what I'm saying. Pogba playing at this level, it's not going to move the needle by much.
I agree with you. I don't think it's enough.
I think that we can't assess based on what we've seen against Southampton. But because there's too many variables that we need to include, right? So our best thing isn't there.
We're being asked that question now.
There's a lot more we're hoping for to go right.
Exactly.
That's where it is.
I'm confident that it can go right, though.
Yeah, but so is everyone going into season, bro. But look at it realistically. We're hoping Varane comes in and shines. We're hoping Sancho comes in and shines. We're hoping Greenwood is...
But they should come in and shine, bro.
That's not a given, bro.
Chelsea, they're just hoping Lukaku bangs.
You know what I mean?
I don't think... Don't do that to Chelsea. Chelsea, with or without Rom, we're going to be there. With Rom, they should be...
I disagree.
Going for the title.
They were going to be there.
Because they were hard to beat.
Yeah, they're hard to beat. They don't concede many.
They're well organised. They've got squad in depth for days, bro. We're gonna be there with or without Rom. Rom just sorts of when you have Rom, you're looking at Chelsea as genuine. They should be winning that title. That's how I look at Chelsea. But before Rom, I still would have said they were better than us. I still expect them to challenge. But with Rom, you're saying actually Chelsea are favourites. So. Yeah. We can't do that to Chelsea and say it's just Rom. They've got a good manager, they've got good squad depth, they've still got good players. I think you guys are very optimistic and a lot needs to go right, and seasons just don't really work like that, man. But it can be lucky in situations.
Do you not think that our team is good enough to... In fact, no. Let's say that we bring Neves in. Do you not think that our strongest team is good enough to rival any of the other teams in the league?
But if we bring Neves in,
there's other variables then. Squad depth, it's the manager you have. You're going deeper. So yes, Neves will move the needle.
I feel like it's more a manager issue than anything else in your eyes.
But
because if we had a Tuchel, I reckon you're both a lot more optimistic than you are right now. Our squad depth isn't bad, by the way.
It's not up to the levels of City and Chelsea, who are being tipped for the title, bro.
Yeah, but what's Chelsea's squad depth saying? It's not great.
It is great. They've got great squad depth. Go through that.
I just think what they have is a very competent manager.
They got Ziyech, they got Cho. They got Werner.
Yeah, go on.
Who are they going to have in midfield? Probably Kovacic.
They've got options. Kovacic, Jorginho, Kante. They've got options all over the pitch. They've now got...
We've got options. We've got options as well. The only place we're really lacking is centre mid. But our bench is... We've got a good bench, bro.
I don't know.
We've got players like Rashford that are out at the moment. We've got players like Cavani that are out at the moment. We're hoping that Martial's going to be on the bench. Lingard's on the bench, another good player. Baye, Lindelof.
These guys don't have a decent bench, bro.
No, we've got. I think the squad depth is near equal. But the thing is, they had one glaring position they needed to fill in. Striker, they filled it in. We haven't filled in DM.
They've got players that could come into the team that are just as good as what's starting.
Right.
No, they don't.
No, they don't.
Stop. Do it. Just do it right now with Chelsea Stadium. All right. well, not really Liverpool. I can't agree with Liverpool. But all right. Chelsea and City. Werner comes in
to replace Rom. Are they as good?
Yeah. No.
Right, cool.
Okay.
Ziyech coming in to replace Havertz. Are they as good?
No.
Who? To replace who?
Havertz.
To replace Havertz.
Pulisic comes in.
Yeah, they
Pulisic
are.
Comes
they
in.
Are.
He's
Ziyech is gonna
Pulisic coming in to Pulisic coming in to replace Mount. Is he as good?
Oh.
He is. Coming in to replace Reece James. Is he as good?
The level you're talking about isn't as big a drop-off when you're talking about players at United. So let me go through ours then. Aaron Wan-Bissaka, who do you bring in? Who do you bring in if he gets injured?
He never gets injured. He never gets injured.
Wait, I'm gonna go through the squad. Diallo. Okay, that's a major drop-off. If Pogba gets injured, who do you then bring in? If Cavani gets injured, who do we then have? Like, come on. If Greenwood gets injured, who do we then have on the right? Like, it's not there. The squad, it's not.
Nah,
like,
bro.
The drop off.
You can't do it like that.
This is what you lot are doing. You lot are saying, if Cavani comes in as the season he has last season, if Sancho comes in and does this, if this player does this, like, it's bare if, buts, and maybes. But you can say with Chelsea and City.
Bro, these if, buts, and maybes are with all teams, bro. It's not just us.
But it's not as big with us.
If, buts, and maybes are good to have now because we're only two games in, isn't it? So we're good to go with these little hopes, isn't it?
I think you guys are going to be...
Rodney slowly fading into darkness is killing me.
Yeah. It's because you are breaking my heart with some of the things.
To be honest, there's optimism
and there's delusion, man. But
to be honest, I'm on your side, though. I'm on your side. I think a lot has to go right for us this season, and I don't.
Timmy makes great points. I'm not rubbishing him. I'm not saying he's chatting shit, or I'm not trying to. Like, it's not that. I'm just saying I'm asking these questions because those are big variables we're talking about that move that has to move. That makes the needle move from us being top four to winning the title. Those are big, big things we're asking to happen, bro. And other teams are better equipped for stuff like injuries, for difficult moments in games, like where managers make the difference. Other teams are far more equipped, in my opinion. Their drop-off isn't as drastic as ours in key areas. But we'll see, because if Cavani gets injured, yes, you can bring in Greenwood. But then we're asking Greenwood who's how old to then come in and have a monster season at nine. It's difficult for him.
Mm.
It's going to be difficult for him. Like you saw when he went up top against Southampton, he faded out of the game somewhat. And it's not his fault. It's just we couldn't get the ball to him. We couldn't sustain attacks. We weren't building properly. And there's little else you can do other than running the channels and work hard. That's not Greenwood's game. So if Southampton, when he went up top, is anything to go by, if we see that in 10 other games, he's going to struggle because he doesn't have what Cavani has. Yeah, of course, but he got his goal when he was on the right. So, I don't know, man. I think I rate you guys' optimism. You made great points, but I think there's so many variables and so many things we need to get right for us to even be up there. And even then, if we get it all right, if City and Chelsea get it all right, there's just so much...
Yeah.
More solid and better than us, in my opinion. But I'm a United fan. If I want to see us do well, but for me, I can't. There's just so much wrong with what's going on right now. There's a lot right, and this is the closest we've been to being a fantastic team. But there's still so much we need to work on, and there's so much we're saying that Chelsea and I'm sorry that we need to do and get right for us to be close to Chelsea, City, and also Liverpool, who haven't signed anyone, but they still look great. They've got Van Dijk back and they still look like they're going to be able to do bits. So for me, there's still a lot. It's more looking at other teams and how good they are rather than how bad United are. I don't want it to make it seem like, oh, it's after two games. What is he saying? It's just more how good other teams are.
I think that's fair.
I'm going to go on to listeners' questions. I think we've got quite a few today. So I'm going to start going through them now. First one's from Mush. With Varane's blistering pace but Maguire's slow turning, is it a good or bad idea to play a high line at United?
There's really no other way as a top team you can play. We can't not play a high line. We've got to be on the front foot. So how else are we going to play? are we gonna have our back four sit in? Like, we have to play like that because we're gonna have most of we're gonna have possession in three quarters of games we play. So what we have to.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, we could just play how we play now.
I think there's nothing wrong with playing the high line because Maguire is really the only slow player in our back four. So he could be covered quite easily, be it by Varane or be it by Luke Shaw. And obviously, as Ronnie said, we're going to have the lion's share possession in three quarters of the games we play this season anyway. So going forward, like, we're going to have to play the high line. Yes, we might get caught once or twice. Yes, we might concede goals once or twice, but so will every team that plays a high line. I recall City conceding plenty of goals because of a high line. Yeah. So, yeah, I think in modern football, the best teams, this is what they play now. And it doesn't really matter about pace per se because, again, we've got Wan-Bissaka who's quick, we've got Varane who's lightning quick, and we've got Luke Shaw who was one of the fastest at the club last season. So, yeah. I'm not worried about the high line.
Yeah, I think it worked. I think the balance of it is probably what you needed. Lindelof and Maguire didn't really have that balance. I think Varane brings the balance for Maguire to sort of shield Maguire's weakness and show off his strengths. So it'll be interesting to see. I don't think high line is quite a big issue because we've got players who have good recovery in our fullbacks, and I'm hoping Varane is that player where Liverpool play the high line with Van Dijk. Maybe not as good, but I'm hoping he's that sort of player in 1v1s and covering space and dominating how attackers come at us. So, yeah, I'm not really concerned about a high line this season. I've never been concerned, really, apart from Maguire getting turned inside out 1v1. I don't really think it's been a major issue for us. I don't know if you guys think high line is a major issue.
I think right now we don't play a high line. I think we just play like a mid line. I assume if Varane comes in, he'll want to move the defense even further forward to congest the pitch a bit more. I feel like Bayern play a high line. I don't think we currently do.
Yeah, we don't play the highest.
I think we do play a high line, but in German football, it's highlighted so much more.
Players are slow there, isn't it?
It's really hard for me to explain, but I know what Stevie's saying because I see it in all German games. The space in behind is crazy.
I feel like that's with Maguire, like, for bits last season, we pushed like 10 yards further up, innit? So I feel like Varane's probably the replacement for Bayern in that terms, and when we can push 10 yards further forward, we have more impetus and possibly hopefully could control the game more.
I think like, obviously when we've got the ball and whatnot, like, all our defenders are on the halfway line and further forward and whatnot, but I think, like, when the opposition have the ball deep in their own half, probably with their defenders, I don't think, like, our defence congests the pitch that much. We're probably sitting on average where you'd expect us to sit.
Yeah, I agree.
But yeah, we'll see. Okay, next question from Slim Papa. Ignoring this PSG game, thoughts on Bailly playing right back? Dre, you're looking puzzled. You're not having any of that.
Why
did we say ignore a PSG game? Did you play right back against PSG or something?
Yeah. Is he right centre back?
Because we played five at the back and Wan-Bissaka played.
Yeah, he was right centre back, innit? I don't know.
I think he's on about.
We were playing that game because when two and Zabi played.
I don't know. I don't know why he's playing right back though.
Yeah, but whatever. I don't know. What does he bring?
I'm struggling to see
what the, like, not to be rude to
Yeah, I don't get it.
The listener, I don't get, because what does he bring so much more than what Aaron Wan-Bissaka on that right? Are we saying he's a better attacker? Is he going to go up the wing more? Is he going to put the ball in? Is he better defensively on the right? Like, I'm confused. What does he bring?
I've got no idea.
Right back. He does too many crazy stuff to play right back.
Yeah.
What? I'm confused as to what he would. I'm trying to think why the listener would say that because I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt, but I don't understand why he would ever go right back. What does he bring?
Slim, if you're listening. Slim, if you're listening, ask tomorrow. And tell us what you think he might bring to right back.
Mr. Puppy, let us know what's going on, bro.
Papa, not Puppy.
Slim, okay. Papa.
Slim, Papa. Puppy. Big Papa.
Papa, yeah. Let us know.
Okay. All right, more one ups. Martial's game has changed drastically since we bought him. Thoughts as to how or why? I think we touched on Martial a bit earlier, but yeah. So I think we've covered that one. It's a good one from Jack and Max. If you could fast forward one member of our squad to his prime years in order to have the biggest impact on the current team, who would it be?
Greenwood.
I might have Sancho there. I'm not going to lie.
Nah, bro. Greenwood.
If we can get Greenwood to 30 goals a season.
Yeah,
That moves the need. And that's what I think he can be at in 2-3 years. Let me just put that in there. I think that can be a big, big, big difference for us. Big difference. Because I don't believe we have a 30-goal striker. And if he's at 30 goals, then we've got Cavani's goals and then we've got Rashford's goals. It changes the complex. It's kind of like having Kane in our team right now. Like 20,
do you think,
that 25 goals.
Do you think Greenwood goes number 9 for us, though? Because I was having this discussion with someone.
That's the natural pathway. He can't play on the right for his whole career.
It is, I agree. He can't play on the right. But if you look at all the top teams at the minute, like their strikers are like Drogba, Haaland, that kind of mold in that they're big, they're powerful, they can kind of do it all. Whereas Greenwood, he doesn't have that physical profile for me yet. And
yeah,
I don't think
give him time, yeah. No, because he's got from when he first busts on the team, he's gotten way more physical
100%
attributes to him. He's gotten, and even now, you can't bounce him off the ball. You can't take the ball from him. So if we're talking about him pinning, man, that's not his game.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to talk about like finishers, Rom and all these other guys, he's up there, if not better, finishing at this level now. So fast forward 2-3 years, come on, man. It's a no-brainer for me. It's a no-brainer. Yeah. He's got to go up top. We can't leave him on the right. If we're going to play him on the right, then I'm sorry, he's got to go and play somewhere else at 9 because he's got, he's got a big, big future at 9. Big future.
Cool. Yeah. All right. Say Nada K. What does Fred provide that negates Van de Beek from starting instead of him?
I'm going on mute, man.
Bro, I wish I could tell you, bro.
Fred must be going out on his door or something. Bro, that's the only way he's starting with that. I don't know. What did he do?
I couldn't tell you, bro.
I used to be on that Pastor Fred train, you know. That I used to go to church with Pastor Fred. I was on that. But not anymore, bro. Not anymore.
Shaky one. All right, let's move on from that quickly. BK underscore Omo. When Rashford is back, what do you think will happen to Wingba if we don't sign a DM? By Wingba, I assume they mean Pogba on the wing.
He just moves back into the six. What else?
Oh, it's going to be so hard. I don't want to. I'm enjoying watching him. I'm enjoying watching Wingba, man.
Yeah.
Like, I was saying the other day.
You're not Rodney. Yeah, you were.
It's like watching sometimes the things he does is like watching Neymar, Dino, like these caliber of players. It's just magical, bruv. Like against Southampton, there was the one where he's on the edge of the box and he sort of just faked it with inside outside and then bam, and he just hit with his leg. Some of the things he does is absolutely insane, and he can't do that from a six, man. I don't enjoy his six performances as much as I enjoy winning, but I want to see him doing those things that gets me on the edge of my seat that I think, wow, I'm going to go watch that. I need to see that replay. I really don't want to see the guy go back to six, man. I really don't want to, especially if we don't have someone that's going to allow him to go forward. I think it's gonna. I think this is another reason why he's saying, you know what, I'm gone, bruv. Because you're seeing what a wing back can do, bruv. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But I love watching.
I'm not gonna lie. When he's that, I think Rashford might have a problem, like getting Pogba off the wing when he comes back. I don't think he's. I don't think Solskjaer is gonna rush him in.
Rash is, even if Rash is like half fit, he's getting back in that side. Like that's.
I don't know.
And he's. And then Pogba's gonna, if Pogba don't go six, he's going right or some madness, some bullshit, bro.
But that's the thing. Last season, I think Rashford had to play in it. This season, we've got Sancho on the right. I don't think he's gonna.
Let's be realistic, bro. Rashford's going just, in that side.
Yeah, because it goes as well, isn't it? I think that's why. Right.
Yeah.
Who knows going what that side. The situation in terms of goals will be with our players by the time he comes back, in it. Because when outside of Bruno and Greenwood and Cavani,
I think. But then we've got Sancho as well, isn't it? I think it depends on how we're playing when he gets fitness. Because if we're playing well, I don't see him just dropping or just moving Pogba to accommodate Rashford. If we're needing goals,
I think that Ollie sees Rashford as like how Fergie saw Cristiano Ronaldo. Like, he's the guy that can make something.
Yeah, I agree, but he needs to stop it.
But even though I don't see him like that, I think he's like this generation version of Ronaldo.
Yeah. But Rashford's got that star quality. He can bring, like, he's got that where he can make something out of nothing, and we need those players in the side. I never want to see Rash on the bench, but I'm enjoying watching him. But, like, in a team where I watch Fred, I watch Maguire get twisted up, Aaron Wan-Bissaka sometimes. I watch all these players making so much mistakes. I enjoy this Pogba out on the wing, man. And in a gloomy game, he brings joy to watching like that, man. It's weird. I feel funny even talking about Pogba like this. I don't really talk about him like that, but edit this out.
I got you. All right, next question. Cornelius one. After the Southampton performance, how detrimental is the lack of a proper DM? I think that makes up 3/4 of this whole podcast, so I'm not gonna go into any more detail on that. United CM98, do you think Aaron Wan-Bissaka will hinder how well Sancho performs?
Yeah, there was a little bit of it. There was a little bit, only tiny bit. Like, it was a little bit. you know, I'm going to reserve my call because it was only 20 something minutes in a port in a team where we wasn't there. I'm going to reserve it. I don't know.
I just think logic dictates that if Aaron Wan-Bissaka was good, he'd take men away from Sancho and they'd have to cover him. I don't think they will be. Or opposition teams will be in a rush to do so. So I think Sancho's going to have to pull out blinders, to be honest, to sort of get time and space on that wing. So I do think it will affect him, unless Aaron Wan-Bissaka improves.
I feel like, because you don't even really play with a traditional right winger, anyway, Jadon Sancho ain't really a traditional right winger, isn't it? So it don't matter who we play out there, Wan-Bissaka's still going to look terrible, isn't it? Like,
but then I think that makes it even more important, though, because if Sancho's not going to give you the width, then you kind of need Aaron Wan-Bissaka to do that, to take men away from him. Otherwise, he's just going to be even more congested in the middle.
Not because he's had 2 years of playing behind Dan James and some of his Lingard, that it will improve on the right just because Sancho's a much better player, isn't it? But it's... Unless Wan-Bissaka can find it in and to improve some parts of his game on that right side, then it's not going to improve it really too much. But I don't think he's as bad as people make out going forward. But he is bad, isn't
he? I think he's not. He's, you know what? Like, because obviously the game's moving to attacking fullbacks, it's like he's probably in the wrong moment in football. And
yeah, like, he's probably in the wrong era.
If you look at previous. You would say his ability is what you expect from a right back, like if you go in with previous errors, but era fullbacks are taking such a prominent role in how they attack. Yeah, he's not bad, man. He's like, if you're looking at right backs, over the years, his ability is what you expect from a right back, but the game has just progressed so much more. You have right backs and full backs in general who need to be attacking, who play such a big part that they play probably. They're more creative than tens are in the game right now. Like, they're more important in that sense. So he's just in the wrong moment, man. He's not a bad player, but in this moment and what the game needs, he's suffering, man.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, go on, Timmy.
No, I agree. I agree. I think he just hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, with obviously with. All wingers, like back in the day, wingers were going on the outside. All wingers are inverted now, isn't it? So, he has to create. It's a bit peak for him. He's in the wrong era, but if he's not delivering what he needs to going forward, it detracts a lot from our attacking emphasis on that side. Yeah. You know what I mean? It leaves us lopsided. Cool. Last question from MI Visuals. Best and worst utility player for United in the last 20 years?
John O'Shea.
What, best or worst?
But it's like Hill or Park, isn't it?
You what, sorry?
For best.
Oh, yeah, best.
I'm gonna say John O'Shea.
Okay.
Could play in a number of positions, just plugged in the gaps wherever he needed to for Fergie. And Park was good as well, but I think Park was more used for big, important games, whereas there was a role for O'Shea in every game, be it centre mid sometimes, be it centre back, left back, right back, you know what I mean? Be it as the number nine when we're chasing a goal. He was up there for us, man. He was such a good servant as well. So I'm gonna give it to John O'Shea as the best. The worst, I can't really think of a bad utility man.
I might have Nico Sylvester in there.
It was Sylvester really a utility man, though?
He played across the back line, though, didn't he? Maybe not.
Back centre back.
Left back. Yeah, I don't think he played right back.
Who?
Quentin Fortune. Terrible. Left mid, terrible. Second mid, terrible.
No, you might be onto something there. But I can't do it dirty.
I don't know, man. I think he was all right as well, Quentin Fortune. Maybe it's the little like bias. The little Fergie boys.
Poor first touch. Offered nothing going forward, offered nothing defensively. He was poor, bro. Surprised he stayed in there for like 4 or 5 years, isn't it? Like, he's poor. But I agree with John O'Shea.
Could Owen Hargreaves go down as a utility man?
He only played DM for us, though. No. Oh, no, he played right back, innit?
He played right back, he played right wing.
Yeah. He was good when he played.
I'm thinking maybe him as the worst, and not, it's got nothing to do with talent. It's just the fact that he was never available.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. Utility men aren't supposed to be bad. Do you know what I mean? Like, they plug gaps and fill holes when needed. They're utility men because they can do a number of things to a good enough standard.
It was decent as well, actually.
Say that again.
Giggs was a decent utility man for us as well, to be fair.
I'm not.
You're not going to reduce him to that.
Yeah, and I don't want to talk. I don't want to talk to Ryan Giggs still.
Pardon?
That's more to do with age, isn't it? Really, with Giggs.
Yeah, that's also true.
Yeah, I guess so. Cool. All right. I don't think Rodney's coming back, so we're not going to hear from him. But that is it in terms of listeners' questions. Guys, quick thoughts against Wolves score prediction. We're away.
3-1. I don't think we're going to keep a clean sheet.
Okay. Any goals for Sancho?
Nah.
Nah, not yet.
Greenwood and Bruno Penn.
we score first, we win. But if we draw, if we go behind, I don't score.
All right, cool. What's that, Kinder Bueno?
He's opening the wrong way as well.
Yeah, you know what you're doing, bro.
Man's opening it the wrong way.
He's actually opened it like a bushman.
Bro.
Is that why you came off the stream, you know?
No, hey, back to that.
What are you eating your daughter's chocolate for, bro?
I know, innit?
You better go replace that, fam.
No, bro.
Best and worst utility player in the last 20 years, Rodney Quick.
The best utility player? In 20 years?
Yeah.
Well, that's a long time.
2001, innit?
I don't know, bruv. Like, if you did that last maybe 10, I would probably say Blin's up there. Worst, I don't know. Well,
I even forgot he played for us, Matty.
Yeah, Blin is a good shout for you, too. But I don't think he did it long enough. I said John O'Shea, innit?
Yeah, I can hear that, actually. John O'Shea's a good shout. Too.
And Dre has put some fortune down as the worst.
Who did you say, Dre?
That's the best John O'Shea, the worst. I'm Quinton Fortune.
Fair enough.
All right, cool. So what did you say, Dre? What? If we win, if we score first, you're backing
us for
what? First,
we're packing wolves. But if we concede first, then I don't know how we're going to break them down and score two goals.
I mean, Wolves are struggling for goals, innit? So I'd be surprised if they score one. But then again, we are United, so.
I'm quite interested to see how Wolves play now that they're not under Nino.
I saw them against Spurs, and I can't remember who they played in their first game. But they created a few chances. I just don't think they took them. Obviously, Jimenez coming back from his massive injury. I don't think he's at 100% yet. But we'll see. What score prediction are you going for, Rodney?
Is Cavani back?
I don't know if he's going to start. He's back now, though, isn't he? He's in training now.
Yeah, I'll go 2-1 then. If he's Cavani on the bench, off? I reckon 2-1.
Alright.
I want to see Varane start, actually.
Yeah, I think Varane comes in still.
You know, you slightly look like Varane.
Who?
It's not going to be me, Timmy, or Timmy, is it?
You must mean Dre, fam.
That's freaking hilarious.
Am I the only one who sees it?
Yeah.
That's bad.
But yeah,
bro, it's a skin anyway, color like thing. I'm skin color and the coolie hair, bro. Don't let him do that, fam.
No, I'm going to take it because I'm on the TLC.
Because if you were to say you look like Jovino now, man will start pulling the race card. You get me?
Yeah, I'm going to leave him with that one. I've got bare names I could pull out the hat.
Let's not do race wars.
Yeah, I'm not going to do it because you have to edit it.
All right, cool. Yeah, guys, that's the end of the pod, man. Thanks for coming on. Much love. Going to call it here. Peace.
Rashford, he's in here, he scores! Marcus Rashford takes yet another step up the ladder.
Thank you.
And it's a lad from Manchester who scores.
Only chance in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man
U. Thank you, man.
Bars in my head like shampoo. Violate my squad, might bang over. Only chance in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U.
Manny. Ready! Description. How about Martial is isolated. Skirtle here. Oh yes! Welcome to Manchester United. Anthony Martial.
I beat for backstage till the bar's done. Slap one, slap two, that's your dance done. Like Rashford, I'm a fast one.
Thank you, man.
Bars in my head like shampoo. Violate my squad, might bang you.
Bang.
Only chance in my team like Man U.
Yeah, like Man U.
Thank you.
thank you. Man, bars in my head like shampoo. Violate my squad, might bang you. Bang. Only champs in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U.
Sports Social Podcast Network.